Now time for the pastor's sermon. We have in your, you should have received a bulletin outline or notes page, if you will. We're actually going to read all three passages today. So stand by to do a little bit of flipping, if you will. We'll start off reading Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, then Nehemiah 13, 15 through 22, followed by Isaiah 58, 13 through 14. And in spite of the logistical difficulties, I would ask that we all please stand for the hearing of God's Word. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Hear the Word of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now Nehemiah 13, verses 15 through 22. In those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in heaps of grain, and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on the day when they sold food. Tyrians also, who lived in the city, brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the people of Judah in Jerusalem itself. Then I confronted the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this evil thing that you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers act in this way? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Now you are bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." As soon as it began to grow dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I commanded that the doors should be shut and gave orders that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load might be brought in on the Sabbath day. Then the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. But I warned them and said to them, "Why do you lodge outside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you." From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites that they should purify themselves and come and guard the gates to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember this also in my favor, O God, and spare me according to the greatness of your steadfast love. And lastly, Isaiah 58, 13 through 14, actually on page 618. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands firm forever. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. Gracious Father, we ask, may you open our eyes to see this important and wonderful text concerning the fourth commandment. humble us, O God. Give us light. Give us light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dr. Joseph Piper, my professor, and also the president of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, he raised a very intriguing question. And this is the question. Is it not possible that one reason for the spiritual weakness of the church is her failure to honor God on the Lord's Day? Is it not possible that one reason for the spiritual weakness of the church is her failure to honor God on the Lord's Day? Then what about the spiritual weakness of a family? A family is also a church. Is it not possible that one reason for the spiritual weakness of a family is its failure to honor God on the Lord's Day? So we have to ask this question. How are we keeping the Lord's Day today? Do we obey the fourth commandment as we should? And therefore today we'll be examining this text, Exodus chapter 20, the fourth commandment. And from that, we will learn that honoring God by keeping the Lord's Day holy according to the fourth commandment. Honoring God by keeping the Lord's Day holy according to the fourth commandment. And so I have six things before you today. Six things. The first, the reason for the commandment. Second, what is forbidden by the commandment? Third, what is required by the commandment? Fourth, the delight in the commandment. Fifth, who are the recipients of this commandment? And sixth, preparation to keep this commandment. So let us first start with the first point. The reason for the commandment. You know, when God first gave the Ten Commandments, you might have missed the preface before He gave these Ten Commandments, which is found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And there it says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." In other words, before He gave the Ten Commandments, God was asserting His sovereignty. But not only He asserted His sovereignty, He asserted His lordship. And also, He demonstrated that He was the Redeemer. And that's why He said, "I am the Lord, the God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And now that you are entering into Canaan, I'm giving you these Ten Commandments, how you should live." But then, as we look at this fifth commandment, we must go back to Genesis chapter 2. And then, we know God created the heavens and the earth 6 days. But on the seventh day, He rested. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. It's very clear from this verse that God rested and He blessed it and He sanctified that day and call it the seventh day. The meaning of sanctify is this: setting apart. Setting apart the seventh day, a special day. And He set apart that day to be an example for us. He worked 6 days and He rested. God doesn't need to rest. He's the Creator. He can just create like this. But yet, because of us who have dull minds, ignorant of His powerfulness. God has to set example, and therefore He set an example. But on the other hand, resting doesn't mean idleness. God is still working in His providences. Resting doesn't mean no activity, but He means worship and communion with the Lord. Worship and communion with the Lord. This commandment was not only given to the believers, but it was also given to the non-believers. Remember, when God said, keep this day holy, it was given to Adam and Eve before they fell into sin. So it is, keeping the Sabbath day holy is for all mankind, inclusive of believers and non-believers. But that is because of God's creation that He commanded us to keep the Lord's Day holy. But today we keep the Lord's Day holy because of redemption, of what Christ has done on the cross for you and me. The author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 10. For He, meaning Christ, who has entered His rest, has Himself also ceased from His works, as God did from His. God rested from His works of creation. Christ also rested from the works of redemption. You know, today some husbands, they set apart certain days to celebrate the wedding anniversary and the birthdays of their wives. They mark out in the calendar no other appointments because they want to celebrate that special day with their spouses. Why? Because they love them. They love them. And as an appreciation, they set those days and celebrate. How about us? Similarly, we should treat the Sabbath day a special day. We should commemorate Christ's resurrection and the eternal life that He purchased for us. What is the greatest thing that can happen to us? Redemption. Redemption. So we celebrate the Lord's Day each Sunday because we love Christ. But in fact, it is He who loved us first. You know, there's an objection saying that, hey, the Sabbath day is a Jewish thing and it is abrogated, and the Lord's Day is not to be regulated by the first commandment. Not true. Because the fourth commandment is not ceremonial. As I said earlier on, Sabbath day was first instituted in the paradise, Garden of Eden, in the state of innocency of Adam and Eve. It stands, it still stands. It applies to all men, believers and unbelievers. Moreover, the Ten Commandments, inclusive of the Fifth Commandment, was given in the tablets of stone, which continues even today. It is still effective today. But then the second thing, what is forbidden in this commandment? I'd like to put to you two main things. Number one is work. Work. Number two is business transactions. Let's look at number one, work. We all understand the importance of labor because it is God who instituted three ordinances at creation. First, the Sabbath day. Second, labor. And third, marriage. So labor is important. Man shall not eat if he doesn't work. And that's what Paul teaches us. We should work. We should work. And that's why in this particular commandment, it is said, 6 days you shall work, but the seventh day is the Lord's day. There is a strict forbiddance of working on the Lord's day, on this commandment. There's no escape for any of us here. Some of them came to me and said, "But Pastor, my husband is not working. I have to work in order to support the family." And there's a problem. Why is the husband not working? And we'll come back to that. But the thing is that we always come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses to work on the Lord's day, forgetting that there is a punishment. That punishment which is clearly spelled out in Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 18, which we did not read just now. But let me show you. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 18. If you're able, you can turn to that passage. And let me read and hear the sobering words. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you.'" See, there's a sign between God and us. Verse 14, "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death." Again, second time it is mentioned, the punishment as death. "Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever." We heard the word sign between God and us. Now we hear the word covenant. It's a covenant between God and us. Sabbath is a covenant between God and us. Verse 17, "It is a sign, not only now, forever, between me and the people of Israel, that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. So the Lord said to Moses, and he explained the importance of keeping the Sabbath. It is a sign between God and his people, and it is a covenant forever. And there's a punishment, which is death, mentioned in verses 14 and 15. But not only that, there is an exercise of excommunication. If you read in verse 16, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. That is how serious is the keeping of the Lord's day. Second, what is forbidden by this commandment is this: business transactions. Buying and selling is forbidden. And it is very clear in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 15 through 22. As we know, Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer, and he was working under the king Artaxerxes in Babylon, and he was burdened to rebuild the city wall in Jerusalem. So he requested the king whether he could go to Jerusalem and rebuild the city, and he was granted. And when he came to Jerusalem, he observed that people were working on Sabbath. They were working on the wine presses and bringing grain and grapes, figs and all kinds of things into Jerusalem. And they sold them. The people even brought fish and sold them in Jerusalem. He was disheartened. What is happening? And he approached the nobles. And he asked the nobles, what is this evil thing that you are doing? Profaning, meaning defiling the Sabbath day. Did not your fathers act in this way? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us, on this city? Now you are bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. You know, one reason for the exile of Israel was disobedience to the covenant God. But here we find another reason, that is profaning the Lord's day, the Sabbath day. That's what Nehemiah is saying. Did not your fathers act in this way, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us, on this city? Now you are bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And what happened? Verse 19. As soon as it began to grow dark at the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, Nehemiah said, I commanded the doors should be shut and gave orders that they should not be opened until after the Sabbath. And I stationed some of my servants at the gates that no load might be brought in on the Sabbath day. Then the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. And then he said, but I warned them and said to them, why do you lodge outside the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they did not come on the Sabbath. Nehemiah said, I will lay hands on you. That's how serious the keeping of the Lord's day. He, Nehemiah, exercised civil powers on the people. Because that's how he loved God. And he understood the importance of keeping the Sabbath. And the same principle applies to us, even to the head of the families, which I will come to that later. So from this passage, we see the serious action performed by Nehemiah, because he understood how serious this command is. In Singapore, our church is just behind a food stall. You will find all kinds of delicious food just behind our church. Chinese, Indian, Malay food. But while I was in Singapore, I didn't know this commandment. I didn't understand. So we would happily go behind and you would eat. And sometimes you would go to good restaurants in Little India. And that's how we spent the afternoon. But then after coming to the U.S., the Spirit of God opened my eyes to see the jewel found in this commandment. Sometimes I hear people coming to me and ask this question, Pastor, does this offend the commandment if I go and eat in a restaurant or if I go to the grocery store? I don't want to lay out what you should do and what you should not do. But go to the scriptural passages. What does it say? Even Nehemiah chapter 13, what does it say? I think Nehemiah chapter 13 provides us convincing and convicting truth concerning the Sabbath day. Third, what is required in this commandment? Keep the Sabbath holy unto God. How? How to do that? I think Catechism question number 60, Shorter Catechism question 60, tells us clearly, how is the Sabbath to be sanctified? The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, meaning not 2-3 hours of worship that we have kept the Sabbath holy. It is the whole day. Some may say sundown to sundown or midnight to midnight. Doesn't matter, but it is 24 hours a day to be kept holy. The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. So the holy resting is to be found in our piety, meaning the public and private exercises of God's worship. Public means coming to worship on Sunday, and private means having communion with God in your alone time with God. You know, there are 365 days in a year. There are 52 weeks, and therefore there are only 52 Sundays. 52 Sundays we gather to worship as a body of Christ. Not 365, but only 52. But even the 52 we want to discard and do something else other than honoring this God who is a creator and redeemer. On the other hand, this worship service, in fact, is a foretaste of heaven. God is preparing us to worship in heaven with other saints. Why aren't we not preparing ourselves while we are on earth? Second, private, as I say, communion with the Lord. Reading of scriptures, meditation, prayer. Make up for what you have missed during the 6 days. God has given you that privilege, that opportunity to do it on the Lord's day, which you are unable to do on the 6 days. Works of necessity and mercy. We are taught in the scriptures to preserve life and promote the well-being of others, our neighbors. And that's why we have the policemen, the soldiers, doctors, nurses, firefighters, and we can go on. We have the electricity department to provide us heat during winter and air conditioning. They have to work, yes. We have the water department. They have to work to provide us water. What about mercy ministry? A Puritan of the 17th century, Ezekiel Hopkins, he says this: certainly it is a right Sabbath day's work to do good and to put ourselves to any work and labor that may tend to the saving of life, easing of pain, or healing of the diseases and sickness of our brother. So, we are called to do mercy ministry on this day. Sometimes you wonder, after worship service, what shall I do? Often we do not know what to do, but there are so many things that we can do in order to honor our God. Prayer month, retirement home on 2 Sundays of the month. Can go with Elder Bill to sing hymns to the elderly people there. And we are always short of people. We have talented singers here, talented musicians here who can do some mercy ministry on Sundays, and also visiting the old age home and prisons. Fourth, delight in this commandment. The question is this: is the commandment burdensome, or is it a delight to you? Is this commandment a burden or a delight? And that's why I asked Elder Breed to read Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. Again, this is another solemn passage. Sorry. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 through 14. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In this passage, we will find three things. First, warning. It's a warning to us. You know, the context of this passage, the Israelites were fasting and praying. They were doing something good, but they were doing it for a wrong purpose. They portrayed they were religious, but at the same time, what they were doing is they were trampling the Sabbath day under their feet. They were trampling. They were dishonoring the Lord's day. And therefore, Isaiah says this: you ought to turn back from trampling the Sabbath day. You should stop defiling the Sabbath day. How? By doing your own pleasure. And that's why he gives three prohibitions. First, doing your own ways. Second, finding your own pleasures. And third, speaking your own words. Doing our own ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. But we don't follow His way. We want to do our way. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We are like lost sheep. Want to do our own way. And here we receive the first prohibition. Don't do your own way. Second, finding their own pleasure. Today we want to do things that pleases us, where we find our own pleasures. We want to do cycling, swimming, fishing, watching television, going to movies, doing sports, which are lawful on the other 6 days, but unlawful on the Lord's day. Third, speaking your own words. And this is the most hardest, because often, how are our conversations on the Lord's day? We talk about our work, we talk about football, we talk about so many other things, hobbies, work. But just imagine, if there are unbelievers beside you and you are talking this, in what way it is edifying that person? If only we are talking about the great work done by Christ, His redemption, that will give hope to the unbeliever who is standing beside you. And it is a difficult task to do. How to honor the Lord's day by speaking the right words which glorify Him. But yet, Isaiah gives us three promises. When you do these things according to God's way, you will delight in the Lord. You will find exquisite joy in Him. It's a promise given to us. Second, I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, meaning I will give you victory. I will give you victory. Third, you will receive the inheritance of Jacob, meaning the spiritual blessings such as adoption, assurance of salvation, boldness to enter God's presence in prayer, and all these spiritual blessings. Fifth, who are the recipients of this commandment? This commandment is not given to the children, the servants of the house, or the wives. No. Look carefully at verse 10. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work. Meaning, the head of the family, the head of the household. You, or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. This fourth commandment is given to husbands, fathers of the household. A great responsibility lays on your shoulders. It is your duty to ensure that the Lord's Day is kept holy. You need to ensure your children are keeping the Lord's Day holy. The servants, even the foreigners who may be unbelievers in your household. Very powerful verse. Very convicting, convincing. It's your duty also to let all your households rest. Even the animals, they should rest. Dr. Beakey, my professor, president of the Puritan Theological Seminary, he said this: he always looks for the Lord's Day. In the morning, on the Lord's Day, he will knock on the doors of his children and he would say, "It is the Lord's Day, the market day of the soul. Wake up, wake up." And on that day, his wife would prepare something special, a simple breakfast, because it's a special day to worship the Lord. I think it should be the same for us, the fathers, the heads of the family. Six, preparation to keep this commandment. Why preparation? Because it is profitable. You know, when you go for vacation, what do? You prepare and you plan. You ensure that all the bills are paid up. You ensure that your baggages are packed. Make sure you don't leave anything behind home. You make sure the cars are... You put on the gas in the cars. And you do this because you want to relax during a vacation. You don't want to be bothered about the home or other things. You don't want to be distracted. You want to be at peace. You want to have delight during your vacation. Similarly, we ought to prepare for this Lord's Day. Finish up your work on Saturday. Putting gas on your car. Do all your groceries. So that you don't have to worry about those things on the Lord's Day. Because you have so many things to do on the Lord's Day to honor the Lord. Students, get all your homework done by Saturday. Prepare for your exams by Saturday so you are at peace, so that you can worship the Lord with peace. preparation is vital. And therefore, planning is also vital. Heads of the families, you can plan what books you want to read on the Lord's Day. Plan so that you don't waste away the day staying idle. We have to give some thoughtfulness at how we want to spend the Lord's Day, which is honorable to God. For children, you can plan maybe Bible games, teaching short catechisms, teaching church history, or read with them about reformers or martyrs or some missionaries, because as they learn, one day they might want to become missionaries, pastors, and so on. Take this time on Sunday, because you're working the 6 days. Bring your children out. Talk to them about creation. Talk to them about God. Talk to them what is life. You can use the day inviting friends and missionaries to provide hospitality. Simple meal. There are so many things you can do to honor God. The other day I was listening to the radio, FM 105.1, and it was a program on the focus on the family. And there was a professor of theology giving an interview, and then he said this: "You know, I put my 2-year-old daughter on my lap and I would say this, 'You wicked sinner, you wicked sinner.'" He taught theology while the daughter was at the age of 2. And the interviewer asked, "Did you say 2 years old? "Yes." And he said, "You would be surprised how children learn theology even from the age of 2. And then he said he would talk about the doctrine of sin, doctrine of grace, salvation. It's amazing. What an opportunity we have to raise our covenant children, teaching them theology. Some of you parents have young children. Some of the adults are going to get married soon. Think about this right now, as how you want to keep the Lord's Day holy. Jonathan Edwards said this: "The Lord's Day or Jesus' Day." The Lord's Day or Jesus' Day. In other words, he is saying that the Lord's Day is Jesus' Day. It is not my day. It belongs to Jesus. If it belongs to Jesus, how do we honor the Lord Jesus, who died for your sin and my sin, was resurrected, who ascended into heaven, who will come again? We should be celebrating this as much as we celebrate the birthday or the anniversary of our spouses. Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was made for man, not man made for Sabbath. And therefore God deserves our worship. And the Sabbath helps us to grow in our sanctification, spiritual strength of the church depends on the spiritual strength of the family. It is impossible to keep the Sabbath holy by our own ability or strength. So may we earnestly seek Christ to grant us grace and strength to keep the Lord's Day holy. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this precious day that you have ordained for sinful people like us. And a day that you have ordained for us to worship you, the Creator and Redeemer, to celebrate your work of creation and redemption. Lord, teach us. Help us to be convicted and convinced of these passages that we examined. Help us to be Sabbath keepers and not Sabbath breakers. Grant us grace and strength, O Lord. And all these things we ask and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen.